afternoon, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, very busy month. I know every month is busy for you, but exceptionally busy, I think, for Astronomy Ireland this month in March. But anyone can look up anything we're talking about in case they miss out on that, and it's astronomy.ie. Good afternoon, David, again.
Good afternoon.
Okay, now the first one is coming up. It's next Tuesday, is it? There's a public viewing of Jupiter.
That's right, yeah. The planet Jupiter is actually its closest to the Earth over the last few weeks. And it's a fantastic sight over in the eastern sky in the evening. If you look over in the western sky, you'll see another brilliant object. That's actually the planet Venus, but it will be gone down by about 8 o'clock. And then Jupiter reigns supreme, dominating the evening sky the whole night long. It's the brightest star in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks great with the naked eye, but in a telescope, you can see the cloud belts, the moons. And we've picked Tuesday because you'll also be able to see the great red spot. And that's what we really want to show people.
Okay, and what is that?
Well, it's a huge swirling storm feature on Jupiter, only it's about as big as the planet Earth. And ever since telescopes have been powerful enough to see it hundreds of years ago, it's been there. And the wind speeds at the edge are about 500 kilometres per hour, much faster than we get anywhere on the Earth. But they've been blowing for centuries. So it's a crazy exotic place. Looks great in spacecraft photographs, but to see it up close live, shimmering away in a giant telescope, that's something for your books list, something you have to do once in your life. And we're going to, hopefully, if the weather cooperates, allow people to do that next Tuesday.
Okay, it's people look up astronomy.ie, as I say, for all the details of everything. But just while I have you there, anyone can go to it, and is there any cost? And where's it taking place?
Absolutely. Anyone can come along. It's great for families. It's taking place at Astronomy Ireland's headquarters, which are in Blanchardstown, in a place called the Rosemount Business Park. And if you go to astronomy.ie, there's a map showing you the exact location of the unit that we're in. That's where we keep all the telescopes. We just take them outside into the path out the front of the building. And Jupiter is so high up, we can see it for hours. So we're going to start at 8 o'clock, try and get along at 8 o'clock. If it's cloudy, we'll still be demonstrating the telescopes, showing people how to use them. And we have a few slide presentations. We've lots of free stuff to give away, and all that will be available. So even if it's raining heavily, which it doesn't look like it will be, but even if it was, we will still be there, and we can tell you about Jupiter and lots of other things as well.
Yeah. I imagine that's important, David. I mean, it may sound like a trivial thing, but just in passing there, the way you mentioned, if the sky is anyway cloudy, people will be shown how to use their telescope. So are people going out there maybe seeing bargains somewhere, buying them, and then getting them and saying, that wasn't worth the money, and it's purely because they don't know how to use them?
Well, some people get on great with their telescope.
Mm-hmm.
They figure out how to use them, and they build up their knowledge. And the best way to start is actually on the moon. And actually, I didn't mention this, but on Monday night, the moon is near Jupiter. And it's also near it on Tuesday night. And we chose the Tuesday night because that's the one when the great red spot is on view.
Mm-hmm.
So both nights, you'll see a brilliant star near the moon. That's Jupiter. And if you start with your telescope looking at the moon, it's easy to find, easy to focus on. You get the hang of magnification, of moving the telescope very slightly at the high magnifications that you get. You have to use the mechanics of your telescope, the knobs and wheels that move it slowly, the focusing, the finding of things like that. And then you progress to Jupiter, perhaps when it's near the moon, that makes it really easy to find. And then you can start eventually to hunt down faint star clusters, galaxies. And that's what I did when I was a kid growing up. And after a few weeks, months or years, depending on how many clear skies you get, you get the hang of it. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. And it seems as well, every time you pick up the paper, there's something happening in space, new findings and all like that. A very exciting time, and getting more so as months and years come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Astronomy Ireland magazine that we produce every month goes out to thousands of beginners all around the country. It's packed with discoveries. It's almost a shame some of the things we have to leave out.
Mm-hmm.
There's that much happening in the exploration of the universe these days. And we try to focus on the Irish angles to it all. So there's often an Irish angle. There are researchers in Ireland who are involved in cutting-edge science. Everything from finding this new Higgs boson, there was a big Irish involvement in that, to this spacecraft that landed on the comet last year and is now tracking the comet for the next year, sending back the sharpest pictures ever there in the current issue of the magazine. One of the controllers, I was born in Mullingar, it was part designed and built in Maynooth. And if you don't know these Irish angles, then we'll cover them in Astronomy Ireland magazine every month. And of course, we tell you what to see in Irish skies, not American or British skies, so there are other magazines for that. And also what Irish people are seeing, you know, the space station, fireballs, the planets, anything at all that they report, seeing they're recorded for history. So if you've got less than a euro a week to spare, you really should be signing up for Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Okay. Just to go off some of the points, staying on it as well to a fair extent, I don't know whether you go to the movies or not, David, but I often get very curious and wonder if you do, and if you happen to watch science fiction to do with space travel and all like that. I recently saw Interstellar. Interesting. It was a bit overlong. It sort of seemed to be a mixture of 2001, you know, the famous Space Odyssey one that was made, which was fascinating. But it dealt with a lot of ways with time and the amount of time it takes to travel and stuff like that. Would you look at a lot of that and black holes and all like that? Would you look at a lot of that if you did happen to see any of these movies and say, that's piffle, or is there any truth in any of it? Would you know? Is it possible
well,
to know?
Well, we have great links with the movies. I think probably most people interested in science have an interest in science fiction. I certainly do. And we ran a competition with Interstellar to launch the movie last year. Had a fantastic response. We all went to see it as well after that. At least the winners did, and myself as the editor of our magazine. And I enjoyed the movie. It was very well produced. The thing that disappointed me is some of the science in it was needlessly wrong. So it's a spoiler for me as a science person, but I think everybody else who would be worried about that would have really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I say, similar to the 2001 Stanley Kubrick Spectacular, which was such a groundbreaking movie, I think it inspired the Star Wars series, George Lucas said. And I actually met Arthur C. Clarke's brother a few years ago and spent a pleasant evening in a pub talking about, he actually helped on the movie and how they made some of the props and some of the things that happened with his brother in the production of the whole thing, which is absolutely fascinating. So we have very strong links to the movies. We had a preview as well for people in Astronomy Ireland for the movie Gravity, which of course went on to win some Oscars. You know, very strong links with the movie. That's good fun. There was even another event we ran a competition for in Trinity College on Tuesday, where Lawrence Krauss, who's a scientist interested in cosmology and the universe, but has also written a book, The Science of Star Trek.
Wow.
So he has a great interest. I think you'll find it pervades all scientists.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering about it. It's fascinating as well. But, I mean, Gravity, to me, was a terrific movie. And I don't think they made too many mistakes. I'm not a scientist at all, nothing about it. But they look like they got things on the button in that one.
Yeah, there were a lot of great effects. And some of it was stretching the imagination, like how easy it was to get from one craft to the other. It's not like that in reality. In space is very big, very easy. We were very fast. But the special effects were superb.
Yeah.
I think it was a book I always said to people, I'm not sure you would have recommended it strongly to your friends, but as a movie experience, the script was almost incidental, those special effects were amazing.
Yeah, a terrible ending. Okay, now you have a lecture on Monday the 9th. Now, next Tuesday that's on, but people can look up astronomy.ie for details of everything that's happened this month and every month in Astronomy Ireland. A lecture on Monday the 9th of March?
Yes, on Monday week, we have an Irishman this time. We're not flying in an international speaker because we have some homegrown experts, and there's a world authority on the space programs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Brian Harvey. He has written textbooks on the Russian space program, the Indian space program, Chinese space program, and the Japanese space program. And one of those, apart from NASA, is almost certainly go to Mars and maybe the first one there. And around the world, people look to his books to find out about these international space agencies. He lives in Dublin. We've known him since Astronomy Ireland was founded 25 years ago. He helped in the foundation of the organization. He's given plenty of talks in the past. He's talked about Russian space science because they have a big 50th anniversary coming up. And they've been to Mars, Venus, lots of spacecraft. And today they do an awful lot of work in the commercial arena, selling their rockets to commercial concerns that you and I don't really hear of, but we're all using it for our satellite communications, our satellite TV and all those kind of things. So there's, we're trying to work out, probably trillions of euros have been spent by the Russians since they invented the space program with the launch of Sputnik in 1957, and they still intend to get to Mars themselves, despite the economic difficulties they have over there. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating story, and Brian Harvey is the man in the universe that you would ask about what are the Russians doing, what have they done, and what's their future going to be like. So if you want to find out that, it's probably the most fascinating space program after the Americans.
And where's it going to be?
Come along on March the 9th.
Where's is that in Trinity College as usual?
The lecture's in Trinity College, and for everybody in the country, we actually record the lectures onto DVD. So you can come along, get a ticket at the door. You can go to astronomy.ie and book a ticket in advance and just wander in the last minute. Or you can book the DVD, and the DVD costs exactly the same as the ticket, including the postage.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if you're there in person or there watching in later. And of course, the DVD, you can rewind and watch it several times or share it amongst friends if you like. So they're being there, you can ask questions. Maybe the live experience is a bit better, so you can do that any way you want.
And that applies to past lectures that you might have missed as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are hundreds of them online now. Everything from the BBC's rock star astronomer Brian Cox, who gave a talk for us in 2008, to the astronomer royals, to most of the heads of the university's institutions, astronauts and the like, throughout the UK and further afield.
Okay, now and finally, then, as I said, lots of things going on, but on the 20th of March, there's a total eclipse of the sun. There's a song there somewhere, I imagine, but there is a total eclipse of the sun on 20th of March.
Yes, there is indeed. Now, there are total eclipses more or less every year, but this one's coming very close. The closest since the big one we had in 1999. People may remember that one. It was total off the south coast of Ireland. Didn't actually land on Ireland. So we didn't see a total eclipse from Ireland, but very close to it. Now, over 95% back then. And we're getting 95% again on next month, March the 20th, a Friday morning, between about 8:30 and 10:30. And even the southeast of the country gets 91% of the sun covered. And the northwest, because the eclipse track is out in the Atlantic Ocean towards Iceland, that they get 95% of the sun will be covered. It will go noticeably dark. It won't be like a total eclipse where the sky goes pitch black and the stars come out. But it'll be close. And it'll get very cold as well. We know that because that's what we experienced in 1999 in Ireland. So we're expecting millions of people to be interested in this eclipse. We've got an eclipse special magazine. It should be on the newsstands now. Look out for the March edition of Astronomy Ireland. You'll know it because it's got a big eclipse sun on the front cover. Mm-hmm. And it tells you all the times and the details of what percentage is going to be covered, how to view it safely, because even what a partially eclipsed sun like that is still dangerous. It can hurt your eyesight, especially if you're silly enough to use binoculars or telescopes. Don't use them to look through them. Yeah. You can project an image or use a pinhole camera that's described in the magazine article. And, you know, experience this eclipse because it's over 10 years before we have another one that gets anywhere near as close as this. Okay. And there won't be a total eclipse on Irish soil until the year 2090. So if you want to see one, a full total eclipse, and not just a very deep partial like this one, you have to travel. And our next big eclipse trip is for USA in August 2017. We'll be launching the details of it later this year, because you need to book them that far in advance, because everybody, literally millions of people, will be beating a path eclipse track in the States in 2017. And we hope to have a lot of fun like we have with previous eclipse trips that we've done.
Okay, so you'll have a total eclipse in America on 2017 in August, yeah?
Yep, it crosses mainland America. It crosses places like Nashville. So, you know, when you go to an eclipse, you want to have something else to do there. And hopefully it won't be cloudy. You want somewhere where the weather prospects are very good. But you also want something else to do, because you're probably going to spend a week there, holiday out of it, and other places to see and visit. Well, plenty of those in the USA.
Yeah, I imagine around August over in that part of the country in America that it's in the height of summer there at that time. So it should be pretty spectacular.
Yes, it will. And a lot of research is done on these eclipses. It's already been done. You can find it on NASA's website about the weather prospects on average for that time of the year, all along the eclipse path. And people use this to plan expeditions, both scientific ones and also the travel companies. And that's what we did. And for instance, our last one was 2006 when we went to Turkey. Mm-hmm. The ideal place to see it, 90% chance of clear sky, was Libya, but in the middle of the desert. So very difficult to get a big crowd there. So we opted for Turkey, where the prospects were still over 70% chance of clear sky, but you had all the resorts in Turkey to avail of. So we had a great holiday there. On the day, the weather was perfect. 180 people got to see the total eclipse of the sun, the most spectacular sight in nature. And it was a fantastic event, and that's what we're hoping to repeat in 2017. And we did one in 1999 as well, went to Bulgaria for that one, and that was totally successful as well. Clear sky.
Great. So absolutely great.
Let's hope it's third time lucky as well.
Okay, we can have a sort of a similar one here on the 20th, Friday morning, just before I come into work. That'd be good. I'll have a look at that. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be the deepest eclipse we've ever seen. So anyone, go out to the newsstands or go to Astronomy, you can order the magazine, have it posted to you. Still plenty of time for that, and you'll have all the details of not just this eclipse, eclipses, ancient Irish eclipses, and it's an eclipse special.
Okay, and to do with the next Tuesday as well, March the 3rd with Jupiter and the red spot, with the lecture on Monday the 9th and then the eclipse on the 20th of March. People can look up astronomy.ie for all details of everything about the magazine and everything about the text that you have for all the things that are happening with sightings. Thanks very much, David. Always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much, David.
It's a very busy March.
It is indeed.
All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.